Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. It's Labor Day 2006. We're broadcasting live on this Labor Day, our ninth consecutive Labor Day. We're going to be celebrating our ninth anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show in November. Looking forward to that, to heading off into our 10th year. Not wishing my life away. No, I'm not doing that. I learned about not doing that a long time ago. On this Labor Day, this half hour, I want to talk about is what I consider to be the disconnect between public policy in the 21st century, a lot of public policy in the 21st century, and the realities of the marketplace. You know, a lot of politicians who are still in Congress, who are still working, made a living, literally made a living in the 20th century by proposing and getting laws passed that helped labor, the labor unions especially, and all they talked about was, you know, helping the working man. Well, you know what, I get that. I was fed by a working man and a working woman who were blue collar folks. I was raised and fed by those people, and so that was a good thing. A lot of those things were good things. And I'm not saying that all the things that were done in the 20th century were not good things. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to get across here, folks, is that we're now in the 21st century. Things are different. And the problem I think we have right now is we have too many politicians who don't get that we're in the 21st century and that things are different. They're still trying to make their living as politicians by creating public policy and passing laws that really don't address 21st century realities. They're still trying to curry favor with trade unions. Now, I admit that I'm not a big fan of unions. I think unions, the importance of unions has come and gone. I don't think they're required anymore. And there was a day when they were. I think the day is gone. And I think that's evidenced by their own numbers. I mean, what's happening to them. Sometime in the 1950s or so, maybe early 60s, their highest point of the total workforce, unions were somewhere around 30%. Now they're probably in the single digits somewhere, 8-9% maybe. Maybe just a little more than that, but not very. They've come down by two-thirds, lost a lot of their roles. Now, why has that happened? Because they're not practical anymore in many places. And sometime, you know, I'm going to predict by the middle part of this century, a trade union will be a part of the history books. So the more politicians act like, when you hear some of these folks, these people doing this, folks, the more they act like trade unions are still a major force in the marketplace, and that they have to curry favor with them and try to pass public policy, pass laws that favor them. Well, when you favor that heavily 9-10% of the workforce, what about the rest of the workforce? You might be hurting those folks. Some of the people you might be hurting are the people who are on the rise in the 21st century, not on the decline in the 21st century. And the people who are on the rise in the 21st century are small business owners and the employees who work for them. We need our politicians to develop public policy, to be debating public policy and passing laws that are more in favor of the rising tide in the marketplace, which is small business and the employees who work for small business, helping that group to be more effective. And one of the ways they can do that is by helping small business owners keep as much capital as they possibly can. By getting regulations that are unnecessary and that are onerous on small business out of the way of a small business. So they don't have to spend money unnecessarily complying with regulations that shouldn't be required. Some of them, some regulations are okay. A lot of them are not. And when they're not, and small businesses have to deal with them, that takes productivity and resources out of our hands, and that hurts the economy. That hurts our ability to hire more employees who are not likely to be union employees. You know, when you think of the worker profile of the 20th century, when I came out of high school, I was probably, you know, my high school graduating class, probably 9 out of 10 of those of that group was likely to be an employee, work for a major corporation. Back in the 60s, work for a major corporation, or at least, but typically a larger company, typically not a small company, and typically not be an owner of a company. It was much higher, almost, I would say probably 90% would work for someone and probably for a larger company. In the 21st century, here we are in 2006, the high school graduating class of 2006, those numbers would be significantly different. Now, I don't know what the percentages are, but I would say this. I would say that for every 10 graduating high school seniors in 2006, that less than 50% would be working for a major corporation, maybe 25%. And probably 40, 50, 60% would be working, will work for a small business. Maybe not a tiny small business, but what would be classified as a small business. One of the things would mean not listed on a stock exchange company, something like that. And the other, say, what would that be left now, 25% or so? The other 25% or so would be more likely to become a business owner. Now, how many of those 10 would be likely to join a trade union, would be likely to be part of what would be considered to be labor? Well, I'm going to say a tiny percent, maybe not even 1% would be likely to do that. Politicians have got a lot of learning to do about what's really going on in the 21st century. And I want to talk about that when we come back after these messages. I want to get into the global marketplace and the benefits we pay our people. Stay with us. 20 after. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're there, in the archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members. Lots of good stuff there that will help you out, and more to come, by the way. I've been talking for a few minutes about what I consider to be, on this Labor Day, 2006, the disconnect between some of the public policy debate that politicians are having today on what we should be doing, what kind of laws we should be passing with regard to the marketplace. And what I believe is that too many politicians are still waging their political wars based on their 20th century perspective, instead of recognizing that we're in the 21st century and things are different here. One of the things that frightens me about many of our politicians today, folks, are the ones who are protectionist, who think globalization is a bad thing, who fail to recognize that we are in a fully developed, well-formed, highly functioning global marketplace already. There's no stopping it. There never was any stopping it, any more than you can stop flood water from you know, if there's enough of it, it's gonna overpower whatever. The marketplace is a very, very beautiful organism that's going to seek its own level. And that's one of the reasons why our earthlings have developed, we've developed what we have to this day, the different things that we have, the conveniences, the resources, the medicine, all those things have happened because of the marketplace. And we now have a fully functioning, highly developed, rocking and rolling global marketplace that America is very much involved in. And so when politicians try to act like they can throw up barriers around it, that they're trying to protect some jobs in the United States and throw up some barriers, all that's doing is hindering themselves and the people they want to help. Because you're not going to stop globalization. You're not going to stop the global marketplace from expanding and from becoming more efficient. And that's another area that bothers me. And I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats, folks, not just one side or the other. We've got people on both sides of the aisle who are trying to be protectionists. And I'll remind those people that the Great Depression was not caused by Herbert Hoover, President Hoover. It was caused partially because of the stock market crash of 29, but also because of the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill that was put into place in about 1932 or 3, I think, which was a protectionist method, a device. That did more to create a global depression than anything else did. But also with regard to the president and Congress in those days, they also raised taxes incredibly. And all three of those things, the collapse of the stock market, the rising income tax, and the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which were protectionist measures the United States took, all those things threw us into a depression. So if you want to try to create, if you want to try to hurt the global economy and hurt the United States economy, put up protectionist bills, put up protectionist laws, try to rein in the global economy rather than work with it. That's what you'll get. And so I encourage you to understand that globalization is not some political, some evil political plot. Globalization is the natural progression of economics. It's been going on since the Phoenicians traded with the Egyptians. The only difference is we're doing it electronically today instead of by ships. Now, quickly, in the minute or so I have left, benefits. Primarily insurance and retirement that we have that we want to pay our employees. Those are different, too, in the 21st century, and they're going to continue to be different. And one of the ways that if politicians wanted to help create better benefit packages, they would understand that we need laws that are 21st century laws, not trying to remake 20th century laws into something that can work in the 21st century. Insurance needs to be focused more on all of us being consumers of healthcare, not beneficiaries of healthcare, not just patients. So we have to have laws that will help us promote those kinds of products where we're all in this together. The employer and the employee and the government all together working to provide the best insurance, which is not universal healthcare, by the way. Retirement, we've all got to contribute to the retirement. The government can help, employers can help, employees have to contribute to their own retirement. The days of defined benefits programs are over. They were always excessive in the 20th century. In the 21st century, there aren't any new ones being created. And the old ones, many of them are failing. And so politicians need to understand that when the 21st century, things here are different. And they need to get their head out of the 20th century into the 21st century. 29 after, I'll be right back with Bert Folsom. He might have something to say about this too. Stay with us.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.